to a better window. Renewal by Anderson.
Hey there, homeowners. It's Troy Pearl. We get it. You think, why should I invest more in windows and doors when I can just grab something off the shelf at the box store? Well, here's the scoop. We're not your typical off-the-rack solution. We might cost a bit more than those high-maintenance vinyl or wooden options, but let me tell you, we're worth every penny. Our Fiberax material is 2 times stronger than vinyl and retains its stability in all climates. Our price includes installation and a warranty. And with us, you get to pick out everything, from glass options to interior and exterior colors to hardware styles and more. It's the customized touch your home deserves.
Right now, for a limited time, save 20% off your entire purchase plus an additional discount of $299. To schedule your free in-home consultation, visit rbagreatermaine.com.
The better way to a better window. Renewal by Anderson.
Riding on the waterline, trying to figure out if I'm above the fall. Maybe I should take some time and practice staring at the wall.
Our next guest on Downtown is a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter. She's a Sirius XM radio host, actor, entrepreneur, and a philanthropist who came on the scene 30 years ago this spring when her song Stay, I Missed You shot all the way to the top of the Billboard charts, becoming the first artist not signed to a record company to ever have a number one song. Over the years, she's released some 15 albums, lots of hit singles as well, and continues to make great music. She'll be coming to the state of Maine along with Lyle Lovett for a show on May 8th at the beautifully renovated Johnson Hall in Gardner. We are so pleased to be joined this afternoon by Lisa Loeb. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is so cool.
By the way, I wore pink in your honor today. I hope you appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, pink is my favorite color. It's just surrounding me all the time. My phone case, my glasses, you name it.
I have to ask, did you do Wordle today? I got it in three, by the way.
I got it in three, too. I can't, but, oh, no, it took me longer. It took me longer. I'm still amazed that people don't tell the Wordle answer. That is like a supreme secret. I can't believe it. It took me four. I think I started with the word that really led me down a road that made it seem impossible.
Are you doing
but
strands?
I've been reading a Ken Follett. I've been reading a Ken Follett book. It's like a new one in one of his series. And so it sort of was, I should have had that kind of word on my mind.
Do you play strands too?
Oh, I don't. Wait, what is strands? I'm looking.
It's another one of the New York Times games. It's a lot of
fun. Is it one
of
the new ones?
Yeah.
I think I want to add more and more games into my world, but I've got so much stuff going on in my life that at the moment it's not happening.
Well, you do have a lot going on. Let's talk about some of that. First of all, we're so excited that you'll be coming here to Maine along with Lyle Lovett for a show on May 8th at the beautifully renovated Johnson Hall in Gardner. We're going to hear some music, but also some stories too, some conversation.
I have to say, when I hear you say Lyle Lovett, May, and Maine all in one phrase, and I get to be there, it's kind of like a dream come true. I love Maine so much, and it's going to be so beautiful in May, and I love performing with Lyle. I opened for him in the 90s when his Road to Ensenada album came out, and I was the opening act, and I got to know him then. My parents were big fans, and I was a fan of his before that as well. So I've known him for almost 30 years, and we've been friends, and this is just such an amazing opportunity to get to sit and listen to him. We're going to be on stage together to listen to him sing, probably to sing with him a little bit. Hopefully he'll sing with me a little bit. And I love his stories, and I love his songs, and so I think it's just a perfect match.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Tickets are going fast, so check out Johnson Hall and get more information on that. You've got so many things going on. I love your collaboration with the Hollow Trees, doing a little Bing Crosby by way of Cole Porter. Don't Fence Me In is great. Did I hear this is going to be an entire album?
It's going to be an entire album. The album, we already know the name of the album. It's called That's What It's All About, which might give you a hint about another song that's on there. But the Hollow Trees is this band out in California that I met years ago. I've always had this idea in the back of my head doing a project. I have done a lot of different types of projects and music for families, and I've covered some of my favorite songs from the past, like summer camp songs. But my parents played me a lot of music growing up, including some of these songs like Don't Fence Me In, and If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake, and The Hokey Pokey, and songs like the Doodlin' song, which, well, when the record comes out, you'll hear I do a tap dance solo on that song. Ooh. But I love all these great standards. There's even a couple of songs we wrote that remind me of those old times. I think I should play one of those on stage with Lyle Lovett. I think it would fit right into the sort of repertoire of storytelling. But we have been releasing videos. You can watch them on YouTube, or you can hear our music wherever you get your music. You can hear some of these new releases of old songs that I did with the Hollow Trees.
And speaking of that, you did great work with some older songs that, frankly, you just made your own on Lullaby Girl, your version of Be My Baby, Ooh Child. All of them were terrific, and I love everything on that album, and especially your collaboration with Larry Goldings.
I was going to say, one of the big reasons that the record sounds the way it does is the people I get to collaborate with. Larry Goldings and I, years ago, for my dad's birthday, my dad, who's now in his 80s, for my dad's birthday, we recorded a version of Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries. And I've known Larry for a long time. I mean, his playing is unbelievable. He's known in the jazz world as an amazing piano player and an organist, and also in the pop world. You know, he plays with John Mayer and James Taylor. Recently, he played with Steely Dan. He's just an amazing musician. And so we made this record also with our friend Rich Jacks, who co-produced it with us. And I just had an amazing band. Jay Bellarose plays drums on it. Adam Levy plays guitar, who you might know from. He played a lot with Norah Jones. He plays with Tracy Chapman. So it's just an amazing band. And we recorded sort of lullaby versions of all of a lot of songs that have the theme of sleeping or night. Songs like Dream a Little Dream of Me, In My Room by the Beach Boys, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. But we made this record that I love it because it's something that my parents really can listen to and enjoy, and families can listen to, and, you know, it's relaxing.
We're talking with Lisa Loeb here on Downtown. I'm going to say it. I think you're making the best music of your career these days. A Simple Trick to Happiness was one of my favorite Lisa Loeb albums. So many great songs. I think Skeleton might be my favorite on there, but you're doing such great stuff, and like much of your career, it's unpredictable, and it's clearly a path that you've decided to go in that leads us wondering where the next turn will be, but it's always so satisfying.
Wow, I really appreciate that. And it's funny, I was talking about Lyle Lovett because, you know, I'm going to be in Maine with Lyle Lovett, but he's always been, you know, when I saw him perform live with his big band and heard him telling his stories and saw the kind of career that he had, that even though I was coming from, you know, he is too, a sort of an indie singer-songwriter person who happens to be a little bit country sometimes, but I came from, you know, indie rock, and that's sort of what I listened to, David Bowie and things like that growing up. But I had always envisioned that one day I'd have a career where I got to play in theaters for people sitting and listening to songs, and I'd continue to be able to like tell stories and sing songs that mean something to me that might mean something to someone else. And I get to do that. And so I'm glad you listened to my most recent record, A Simple Trick to Happiness, because although I do love playing songs that people know from the 90s that I wrote, or even from the 80s, that those songs still mean a lot to me. It's really satisfying to be able to make music now and have that connection with the audience as well.
And Fallback Guy, I think you released a couple of months ago. That's terrific. Yeah.
Now, that's a song that I co-wrote with, one of the co-writers is my friend Maya Sharp, who you may know.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
yeah.
also an amazing singer-songwriter. And again, yeah, being able to tell these stories that mean something and be able to experiment with different genres, you know, like the song Fallback Guy, it kind of has an Elvis Costello feel. I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan. I've got songs on Simple Trick to Happiness. One of the songs is called This Is My Life. And really, as I was writing it, I was like, this feels like the band Spoon. But then during the chorus, I really wanted it to sound like Randy Scouse Gitt from the Monkees. So, you know, playing around with a lot of different things. But all the songs usually translate into just an acoustic guitar also, so that's a good thing.
Love your children's music. Catch the Moon came out a little bit before my son was born, as a senior dad looking for ways to embrace that. And my gosh, what a terrific album it was. And the work you did with Elizabeth Mitchell is so good. And so it's so smart. It's great for kids, but adults actually enjoy it as well. It's a multi-purpose.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth Mitchell was my freshman roommate in college at Brown University. And we had a band together called Liz and Lisa all through college. And we had a great following and we made all these great recordings. And then we decided, you know, after college, we went and did our own things. She has a band called Ida, as well as a really flourishing, family-friendly music career. And so when I went to make my first kids record, I asked Liz if she would work with me. And we made that record together and she produced it. And that was kind of the template as I moved forward to make my other, gosh, I don't even know how many other kids records I have. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. There's a million. I've made a lot of records. But it's exactly what you're saying. You know, trying to do things that are not, it's never talking down to kids. It's the kind of music I listened to when I was a kid in the 70s, you know, or entertainment. You know, you'd watch Steve Martin. You'd watch Sesame Street.
It made me think of Really Rosie, you know, the wonderful Carole King album.
Really Rosie is one of my biggest influences, that and Free to Be You and Me. And you, I literally covered It's All Right to Cry with my friend Craig Robinson on my album, Feel What You Feel. So, these records are real musicians playing real music that happen to have stories that, I don't know. I mean, not to compare ourselves to the Beatles, but, you know, it's that kind of music where it's just, it's maybe a little bit more imaginative, but it's just real music.
I love it. Also, enjoy your show so much on Sirius XM Radio on the 90s channel, Stay with Lisa Loeb. It's great. It's a chance to catch up with people that we may not have heard from in a while. But also, it's a reminder, too, that people's careers, especially in the music business, don't always follow a straight line, but they can still be doing some really cool things, and it's great to know what they're up to.
Yeah, well, that was exactly what happened. I have this daily show on Sirius XM called Stay with Lisa Loeb, and I created a little segment called Your Story, Your Song, which is basically a request time, but I encourage people to send in their own stories. We're still working on that, about certain songs. But also, I was interviewed years ago for the Oprah Channel, and I was really excited about it because I love Oprah and how she helps people tell stories that make you feel connected with other people in the world and not so alone. But anyway, I was talking about one of my new records years ago, and I think Isaac Mizrahi was one of the other guests on the show and some other people. And then I found out the show is called Where Are They Now? And I felt like a Spinal Tap moment. You know, I was like, where are they now? I'm putting out a new record. Like, Isaac Mizrahi's on Broadway. What do you mean, where are they now? Should be where they are now, which is a nod to the fact that, yes, you may know people from a particular project or a particular era. But like you said, they're still up to doing all kinds of things. So I have a podcast now called Where They Are Now. And we run segments of that on the show. And I do get to catch up with people like Weird Al and Leanne Rimes and the Backstreet Boys and really catch up with people to hear what they're doing now. And they may still be on a music path. They may be working with certain charitable organizations they've created. It's really fun to connect with people in that way.
Speaking of charitable work, can you talk a little bit about what goes on with the Camp Lisa Foundation?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't actually have a camp, which I wish I did, but I do have a foundation. My second kids record was called Camp Lisa because I love summer camp so much growing up, sleepaway camp, and I wanted to share that experience. And the music, I loved the music so much. I went to just regular camp, not music camp, but we sang all the time, you know, standing on the picnic tables at lunch and in the water and late at night around the campfire. So I wanted to share that experience, and I made a record called Camp Lisa, and I really wanted to have a TV show to show kids how cool camp is. And the TV show didn't come together, and then I realized actually sending kids to camp was probably the best way for them to find out about camp. So I started a foundation, all the proceeds of the record. I sell a coffee blend called Wake Up, which is named after one of my songs. And even recently, I won $62,000 on Name That Tune, which I donated to Scope, which is an organization based on the East Coast. They work with Fresh Air Fund camps, and I work with them to help send kids to camp who normally might not have the opportunity to go to camp because it can be quite costly. But I think it means so much to people and how their lives develop, and it really contributes to the success of being a great leader, of being a great member of the community, of having fun, of taking chances in a safe way. And so I love spreading the word with my Camp Lisa Foundation.
And of course, next month, hard to believe, marks the 30th anniversary of the release of Stay. It's still a remarkable story. Today, because the world has changed so much and with the digital releases, you can see people having hits without the benefit of record company support. But to do what you did as an independent artist and hit number one on the Billboard charts, reaching the soundtrack, of course, of Reality Bites, thanks to the connection with Ethan Hawke. But I feel like that really set the tone for your career, that you realized you could do this as an independent person and maybe not be beholden to some of those management types.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I definitely do rely on my management, who I've had for over 25 years. But I agree with you. It's like the machine, you know, when the machine of the big record companies are working, it's amazing. You have a lot of reach. You can connect with people all over the world. When it's not working, you can get buried under a pile of papers. So it's fun to have that balance. I keep using the word fun. It's more complicated than that. But it's finding that balance between taking advantage of you know, commercial music and being able to reach out to people through radio and other things, and doing it still very independently. Stay, my song Stay, I Missed You, was a great example of being able to utilize both things. You know, like the song was on a soundtrack. A radio station in Houston started playing the song as a single, but I also had a great attorney who helped me keep the rights to the song. And I have also, I've always been very independent, but I do rely on my collaborations with people creatively and in the business side of things. But I am celebrating the anniversary. I can't believe it. We have a lot of cool things coming up to celebrate the anniversary of Stay. You'll have to check my socials at Lisa Loeb, or my website, and you'll see all the different things that'll be coming up to celebrate.
Well, the best thing for us is that you'll be here again with Lyle Lovett May 8th at the beautiful Johnson Hall in Gardner. Songs and Conversations, Lyle Lovett and Lisa Loeb. Lisa, I've been a fan of your work for, well, all these 30 years and love the way you've taken your career in so many wonderfully creative directions. Great to talk with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you, too.
Lisa Loeb with us on Downtown again May 8th at Johnson Hall in Gardner, along with Lyle Lovett.